Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, June 3rd, 2019. Coming up this hour,
global stocks slide as concerns over trade take center stage.
India joins China and Mexico as tariff targets for the White House.
Treasury yields tumble as bond volatility reaches a two-year high.
Oil falls and gold gains as investors seek havens.
President Trump has arrived in the UK for the start of his three-day visit, plus Secretary of State Pompeo says the U.S. is ready to talk with Iran. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stash, Aaron Swartz. Red Sox beat the Yankees. Mets lost at Arizona. The Warriors topped the Raptors, tied up the NBA Finals.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Insight, BNY Mellon Pershing's must-attend event for the financial advice community, June 12th through the 14th in Phoenix. If you haven't registered, visit BNYMelonInsight.com to register today.
And U.S. stock index futures and European shares are declining this morning. It's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 12 points, Dow futures down 126, and NASDAQ futures down 44. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%, CAC in Paris down 0.6%, and the FTSE 100 down 0.7%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.9%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was little changed. 10-year Treasury up 11.32, yield 2.08%. Yield on the two-year, 1.86%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.33% or 21 cents at $53.29 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $8 to $13.19.10 an ounce. The euro, 1.1182 against the dollar. The yen, 108.27. Nathan.
Karen, trade war concerns remain in focus on several fronts. We begin in China, where the government's out with a white paper blaming the Trump administration for a breakdown in trade talks. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
The blame was laid significantly at the feet of the U.S. So China's saying the U.S. reneged on its promises, saying that the tariffs that have been imposed will impact and hurt U.S. consumers and U.S. corporates, and saying that if you want to get a deal with China, you're going to have to remove those tariffs. You're going to have to downgrade your demands. We also had an investigation launched into FedEx that China said was partly as a result of retaliation from their side in terms of the U.S. sanctions on Huawei.
All eyes now turn to this month's G20 summit in Japan, where Presidents Trump and Xi Jinping could meet to discuss the standoff.
1 week from today, U.S. tariffs on goods from Mexico take effect as the Trump administration pressures the country to stop undocumented workers from crossing the southern border. White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney says the president is deadly serious about putting levies in place. He spoke on Fox News Sunday, heard right here on Bloomberg Radio.
This was an immigration matter. It is not a trade matter. So the USMCA is a trade discussion that's ongoing. That's why Bob Lighthizer is meeting with his Mexican counterparts this week. This is an immigration matter, and the two are separate.
President Trump says Mexico is sending a delegation to Washington on Wednesday to discuss the situation.
Meanwhile, you can add India to the list of countries swept up in the trade storm. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live at the very latest on that. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. The White House has ended India's designation as a developing nation. President Trump says India has not assured the U.S. that it will provide equitable and reasonable access to its markets. By terminating the designation, it ends an exception that allowed India to export nearly 2,000 products to the U.S. duty-free. India says it offered resolutions to the U.S. during bilateral trade discussions, but those weren't accepted. Indian lawmakers are warning of a potential economic crisis. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Turning to another front now, President Trump is downplaying the chances of a trade confrontation with Australia after the New York Times reported his administration discussed imposing tariffs on the country's goods.
The Australian situation is interesting, but the relationship is very strong. No, we're doing a very, very special relationship with Australia.
According to The Times, some of the president's advisors want tariffs on Australia to stem a surge of aluminum from the country, though the administration temporarily decided not to take action after objections from defense and State Department officials.
All these concerns are sending U.S. futures and European stocks lower, but in Asia today we saw more of a mixed session. Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann joins us from Hong Kong with details. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. After a brutal May, Asian stocks showed a bit of resilience to President Trump's new trade threats against Mexico and India. Chinese stocks were relatively calm. The CSI 300 was flat as enticing manufacturing data came out better than expected. Now, that helped lift EM currencies like the South Korean won and Taiwanese dollar, while Japanese shares ended the day nearly 1% lower. The Nikkei is set to erase all of its gains this year. In Hong Kong, I'm Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yvonne, thank you. Stocks in Europe also falling to start the week. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. European stocks in the red this morning. That's as the latest salvo in the trade war causes renewed jitters in global markets. Banks, car makers and tech stocks, the worst performing sectors this morning. The stock 600 down 0.5%. And an update on the euro area economy. Factory output dropping close to a six-year low in May. Slumping orders and declining workforces signalling a bleak outlook for demand. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thanks. Back here in the U.S., Treasury yields are falling again with 10-year rates now at 2.08%. Concerns about growth are mounting and will likely be in focus when the Federal Reserve kicks off a conference tomorrow in Chicago. Bloomberg's Michael McKee reports.
The meeting is supposed to be a chance for Fed officials to consider how they set rates at a time when the economy is strong. This is a two-day listening session to hear from outside experts. No decisions expected until next year. While current policy isn't on the agenda, with trade wars heating up, Fed officials may have to talk about the economy as well. In Chicago, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Hi, Mike, thanks. Tune in for interviews with Chicago Fed Chief Charles Evans and Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan live from Chicago tomorrow and Wednesday on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
On the corporate front, we have a couple of acquisitions to tell you about. Infineon Technologies has agreed to buy Cypress Semiconductor in a deal valuing the U.S. target at about $10 billion.
And Blackstone Group is betting on e-commerce with an $18.7 billion deal. The company's agreed to buy U.S. logistics assets from Singapore's GLP. This is Bloomberg. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to check the latest world and national news with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump is taking swipes at London Mayor Sadiq Khan as he arrived in Britain. President Trump, in a tweet this morning, called him a stone-cold loser. The president hits the ground running during his UK visit. His first stop is Buckingham Palace to meet the Queen. President Trump has hinted that he could meet with some of the top political rivals to outgoing Prime Minister Theresa May. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
The two leaders have found themselves increasingly at odds on issues from tariffs to Iran's nuclear program, but if they never warmed to each other, it wasn't for lack of trying, as evidenced by Trump's thoughts on the relationship at a London news conference last July.
I would say the highest level of special. Am I allowed to go higher than that? I'm not sure.
Indeed. May was the first foreign leader to visit Trump after he took office, and he'll be the last foreign leader to visit her before she leaves office. But the strains between the two nations will be on display. Trump won't be given the opportunity to address both houses of parliament because of opposition from some politicians, and he's expected to be greeted again by a giant balloon depicting him as a diaper-clad baby with tiny hands. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A vigil for the victims of Friday's Virginia Beach shooting attracted hundreds of mourners yesterday. The mass shooting left 12 victims dead, including city employee Keith Cox. His co-worker Christy DeWar says Cox told employees to hide in an office as he walked back into a hallway to check on others.
We were going to go out the break room, and Keith was standing there. He said, stop, stop, don't move. Get against the wall. Be silent as much as possible. Press yourself against the wall and stay quiet.
Authorities are searching for a motive by the gunman identified by police as 40-year-old Dwayne Craddock, who was killed in a shootout. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the Trump administration would be ready to negotiate with Iran without preconditions. Pompeo, who met in Switzerland with the country's foreign minister, is trying to convince European leaders the U.S. is not looking to go to war with Iran. However, Pompeo added the U.S. will not rely solely on the International Atomic Energy Agency for Iran's compliance to not build nuclear weapons.
We're doing our work to make sure that Iran never ends up in a place where it can have a nuclear weapon.
A spokesman for Iran's foreign ministry said Pompeo's comments did not demonstrate a change in U.S. policy. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshar.
Nathan, the Golden State Warriors seeking a third straight NBA championship. They like to make it hard on themselves. Five straight games they've trailed at halftime. In all five, they've trailed by double digits at one point last night in Toronto. They then scored the first 18 points of the second half. The Raptors got it down to two. Final half minute.
Goes cross court to Livingston. Good catch. Goes to Andre. He's open. Launches a three. Buried it! He buried it with 5.9 to go! Clutch shot by Andre Iguodala. And there, he absolutely saved this game.
Warriors radio, Golden State hung on to win game two of the finals, 114-109, tying the series at one. Although another Warriors injury, they're still without Kevin Durant. Now Klay Thompson, who had a team-high 25 points, left with a sore hamstring. Kawhi Leonard led Toronto with 34. Game three is Wednesday at the stadium. Yankees could not get the sweep. Red Sox won 8-5. Yankees scored three in heavy rain in the eighth inning, but couldn't come all the way back. David Price finally won a game at Yankee Stadium. CC Sabathia took the loss. Red Sox pulled away against Luis Sessa. Still, Yanks take 2 of 3. They've won each of their last 9 series. Mets lost the series at Arizona. Diamondbacks won 7-1. Steven Matz had been pitching well. Not this time. Both the Mets and Yanks have Monday off. Patrick Cantlay won Memorial Golf in Ohio by 2 shots over Adam Scott. Fourth round action continues today at the French Open. Novak Djokovic among those who will be playing. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. And U.S. futures contracts appear to point to a lower open for the month of June, with S&P futures now down 10 points, Dow futures down 109, NASDAQ futures down 37 points. DAX in Germany down 0.3%, the CAC in Paris down 0.4%. 10-year up 10 30 seconds, the yield 2.08%, 2-year treasuries 1.86% yield. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, what could multi-front trade wars mean for the global outlook? We speak with Simon French, chief economist at Panmure Gordon. This is Bloomberg. Good morning.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks declining in Europe alongside U.S. stock index futures as the latest salvos in the China-U.S. trade war renew jitters in global markets. Havens in demand with 10-year treasuries and gold advancing. The S&P 500 was down 6.6% in May. It is a new month on Wall Street, and S&P futures are down 10 points this morning. Dow futures down 104, NASDAQ futures down 38. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year treasury up 9/32, yield 2.09%. Yield in the 2-year, 1.86%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 15 cents to $53.64 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $7.60 to $13.18.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1179 against the dollar. The yen 108.29. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The president kicked off his trip in Britain with a tweet blasting London Mayor Sadiq Khan, who says the American president should not get red carpet treatment in Britain. President Trump called Khan, quote, a stone-cold loser. Over the weekend, President Trump led British headlines with his views on the country's political crisis. He told the Sun newspaper that former Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson would make an excellent prime minister. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the Trump administration would be ready to negotiate with Iran without preconditions. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Red Sox 8-5. The Mets lost along with the A's. The Giants beat the Orioles 8-1. The Nationals were winners. In the NBA Finals, the series is tied at a game apiece after the Warriors beat the Raptors 109-104. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:19 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Our guest as we begin a new trading month, Simon French, Chief Economist at Panmure Gordon. Nice to have you back with us on Bloomberg Daybreak, Simon. I know many economists are changing their forecasts for the global growth outlook given the continued tensions between the U.S. and China, and now the U.S. threatening to impose tariffs on all Mexican imports into the U.S. by next week. Have you changed your forecast?
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. Yes, we have lowballed our growth forecast for the year off the back of what seems to be a broadening risk of trade conflicts, and we've already seen it in the global trade volumes data. And the challenge, I guess, is understanding from the president, who has just landed here in the UK, whether he's going to broaden the range of tariffs in China and tear up those increases in tariffs on Mexico, and whether that will actually precede a ramp up on auto tariffs to Europe and Japan. In that scenario, you can see growth in the global economy coming in closer to 3 than 3.5% for 2019.
All right. So what will you be looking for in the days and weeks to come, I guess, particularly on the U.S.-China front?
Yeah, I mean, one client said to me last week that the most valuable thing to own in the market right now is the pre-access to the president's Twitter account. And I don't think you should over-intellectualize the challenges that that are facing investors right now. The question over whether we will get a dial-up to the full $325 billion of Chinese imports into the U.S. economy, see a 25% tariff on that, is the key market delta. So while the non-farm payrolls data, the commentary from the Fed will continue to sit in the margins as relevant to the outlook for the year, I think it's very much how politics evolve and whether the president is going to try and seek a deal to try and get the U.S. economy moving again in the second half of the year.
Where do you see Treasury yields headed with all this in the foreground?
Yeah, so we were very, very cautious with U.S. Treasury yields at the 10-year above 3%. We thought that was far too big a spread to the global rate, given the weakness of growth elsewhere in Japan and Europe and the softening in China. But now down at these levels, the low 200 basis points, I think the opportunity actually is to see high yields over the near term. I think the market now pricing in 2 to 3 rate cuts from the Federal Reserve is inconsistent with our models on, yes, growth has slowed, but I don't think to the degree that justifies that kind of level of easing from the Fed. So I think when we get the meeting on the 18th, 19th of June, I think the Fed is likely to affirm a hold in the Fed funds rate for the rest of the year rather than signaling a cut. And in that environment, I think yields move moderately higher.
All right. So are you expecting any rate cuts from the Fed this year then?
We're not expecting any rate cuts from the Fed, and I think we're out of kilter with market consensus and where the yield curve is. But I think there has been an overinterpretation of the politicization of the Federal Reserve, and indeed an overinterpretation of quite how damaging in the near term the slowdown in global trade will be. I think fundamentally the U.S. economy has decent inflation through the wages route. I think it has decent core inflation. I think we're going to see some inflationary impact from tariffs and an oil price, which is still up on where it was at the back end of Q4. So I think for me, the Federal Reserve sits pat. And while I do think there's a considerable uncertainty over that, I think the market is priced in with too much confidence at easing from the Fed.
Less than a minute to go here. Do you think the European Central Bank stays pat with its meeting coming up later this week?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the question for the ECB is whether in anybody's investment horizon it's going to be able to leave what is negative interest rates and a significant amount of balance sheet accommodation. Look, the ECB hasn't got any inflation to speak of to worry about. Inflation expectations down at 1.2%, where it needs up to be up to near closer to 2%. Look, the ECB is not moving anytime soon.
Simon French, Chief Economist, Panmure Gordon. Always good to talk with you. Thanks again for being here with us on Bloomberg Daybreak. It is 5:24 on Wall Street, and still to come on Bloomberg Daybreak, we're going to continue to take a look at the multi-front trade tensions now for the U.S., with China now blaming the United States for the breakdown in trade talks in a white paper just released over the weekend. And, of course, all the latest news in business, economics, and finance. Of course, President Trump, as Simon mentioned, in the U.K. for a state visit. How much will the U.S. president's role play in U.K. politics in the days ahead? That's all straight ahead here on Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg. At 5:25 on Wall Street, futures point to a lower open for the trading month. S&P futures down 10 points. Dow futures down 106 points. NASDAQ futures down 38. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper's 4th Annual Alternative Investment Summit, June 19th. Network with your peers and enjoy a fireside chat with keynote Alex Rodriguez. To request your invitation, email events at EisnerAmper.com.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The global stock sell-off continues as we begin a new trading month. The S&P 500 lost $1.7 trillion in May. Treasury yields are falling, with the rate on the 10-year at 2.09%. Meanwhile, J.P. Morgan now sees 10-year Treasury yields at 1.75% at year-end.
Yeah, trade war concerns remain in focus, with China's government publishing a white paper blaming the Trump administration for stalled negotiations. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
China says the trade war has not made America great again, poking fun at President Trump's slogan. And it says it won't be pressured into concessions. The paper says the trade actions have done serious harm to the U.S. economy, increased production costs, higher prices, and damage to growth in people's livelihoods. The two countries should talk, it says, but with sincerity, mutual respect, and equality. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Meanwhile, 1 week from today, U.S. tariffs on goods from Mexico take effect. President Trump vows to stand firm on that plan if Mexico fails to stop undocumented workers from crossing the southern border.
They're sending a big delegation right here to the White House on Wednesday, as I understand it, and we'll see what can be done. But if it's not done, you know what we're going to be doing, and I'm really okay with that.
The president also terminated India's designation as a developing nation, thereby eliminating an exception that allowed the country to export nearly 2,000 products to the U.S. duty-free.
In deal news, Infineon Technologies has agreed to buy Cypress Semiconductor in an acquisition valued at about $10 billion, plus Blackstone Group's making a big bet on e-commerce. It's agreed to buy warehouses from Singapore's GLP for $18.7 billion.
U.S. aviation regulators say airlines worldwide must inspect more than 300 of Boeing's 737 family of aircraft, including some of the grounded MAX jet. They have wing components that are prone to cracking and must be repaired within 10 days.
And in Europe, Britain's manufacturing sector unexpectedly shrank in May for the first time since the direct aftermath of the 2016 Brexit vote. IHS Markit's manufacturing PMI dropped to 49.4 from 53.1 in April.
And futures are lower. S&P futures down 9 points. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. President Trump's in the U.K., and Michael Barr is right here to tell us what's happening in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. During his visit, President Trump will meet with outgoing Prime Minister Theresa May. He arrived in the U.K. this morning. As he departed yesterday from Washington, President Trump ruled out a meeting with London Mayor Sadiq Khan.
No, I don't think much of him. I think that he's the twin of de Blasio, except shorter.
That was a reference to New York City Mayor and 2020 presidential candidate Bill de Blasio. Later this morning, President Trump tweeted that Khan was, quote, a stone-cold loser who should focus on crime in London, not me. Protesters will be coming out to express their displeasure. Bloomberg's Robert Hutton has more from London.
The roads in central London are closed. The extra police are on patrol, and the giant inflatable baby is prepared. Britain is ready to welcome Donald Trump. And the president, characteristically, has fired two salvos at his hosts even before leaving Washington. Saturday saw Trump's observation that former Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson would make an excellent prime minister. Sunday began with his advice that Brexit Party leader Nigel Farage be appointed to negotiate Britain's departure from the European Union. In London, Robert Hutton, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is trying to convince European leaders that the U.S. does not want to go to war with Iran and says the administration is ready for talks without any preconditions. However, while in Switzerland, Pompeo also says the U.S. will not rely solely on the International Atomic Energy Agency for Iran's compliance.
But the American effort to fundamentally reverse the malign activity of this Islamic Republic, this revolutionary force, is going to continue.
Pompeo was responding to Iranian President Hassan Rouhani's expression of willingness to negotiate with the U.S. as long as his country wasn't bullied into doing so. A senior North Korean official has appeared in state media days after a South Korean newspaper reported he was purged over the failed nuclear summit in Washington. A photograph showed that Kim Jong-chol attended a concert and sitting a few seats from leader Kim Jong-un. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the NBA Finals are tied to 1. Warriors got the split in Toronto, taking game 2, 109-104. Raptors led by 12 in the first half, but Golden State began the second half with an 18-0 run. Raptors didn't score a point first 5.5 minutes of the third quarter. They did cut the lead to 2, but Andre Iguodala's three-pointer with 6 seconds left sealed the Golden State win. Steph Curry didn't make a basket until late in the first half. He finished with 23.
The whole fourth quarter, they're playing with some janky defense, just trying to send bodies to me everywhere. And our whole roster just took advantage of it. Like, over the course of the game, that's kind of disrespectful to leave Andre Iguodala open like that, you know, with the game on the line. He's made big shots like that before, and he got it done tonight.
Klay Thompson scored 25, had to leave with a sore hamstring. Draymond Green, an assist shy of a fourth straight triple-double. Kawhi Leonard led Toronto with 34. Game 3 is Wednesday in Oakland. David Price had never won a game at Yankee Stadium, but last night he outpitched another veteran lefty, C.C. Sabathia, who lost for the first time since April. C.C. gave up early home runs to J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, both with their 12th of the season. Luke Voit at his 15th for the Yanks, who were down 8-2. Luis Sessa, having given up 5 runs, an 8th-inning rally fell short. Red Sox finally beat the Yankees. They avoided getting swept. They won 8-5. In Phoenix, Steven Matz served up 2 home runs first inning. Mets had only 6 hits against Merrill Kelly. He struck out 10. The Diamondbacks won 7-1, so a 2-5 Mets road trip. Patrick Cantlay won Memorial Golf in Ohio by 2 shots. Novak Djokovic has his 4th round match today at the French Open. Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It's the money issue, including a story on the chairman of Samsung, whose tax bill could leave his heirs owing billions. Pat Regnier contributed to the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
When the chairman, who's been incapacitated, passes away, there's a question about what's going to happen to not so much to the money, but to control of this complex web of Samsung companies.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly. Weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, Nathan. An effort by Democratic lawmakers to levy a tax on capital gains for wealthy Connecticut taxpayers is not included in the proposed 2-year Connecticut budget agreement. Governor Ned Lamont and Democratic leaders announced May 30th they had reached a deal in a state budget that will not raise income tax or sales tax rates. It is a buyer's market for luxury properties in the Hamptons this summer, with the biggest market glut in more than 7 years in New York's seaside getaway. Prices are soft on top and tighter as you go lower, according to appraisal firm Miller Samuel CEO Jonathan Miller. About 3,000 part-time lecturers at Rutgers have a new contract. It introduces a tiered system, according to NJ Spotlight, giving part-time faculty pay hikes of 12% over 4 years. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thank you, Ed. It's 5:39 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, more trouble for Boeing as the plane maker is ordered to replace wing parts on 737s.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're talking about JetBlue Airways looking at buying longer-haul planes as it plans transatlantic flights.
I'm Caroline Hepker. On Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London, we're reporting on the start of President Trump's state visit to the UK, controversial from the beginning after the president weighs in on the pick for Prime Minister and continues his battle with London's mayor.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Google is in the crosshairs of Department of Justice antitrust enforcers.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we'll be following today, Apple kicking off its Worldwide Developers Conference in San Jose. Here with more, Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It's a big event with thousands of developers attending. CEO Tim Cook and other leaders will be making a keynote presentation to unveil updates of Apple's operating systems and a new approach to apps. Sources say the changes will showcase Apple's new generation of devices and software. While the developer conference is software-focused, the company often sprinkles new hardware announcements in at the event. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Futures pointing to a lower open on Wall Street this morning. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Command Financial. Business is constantly evolving. Is your financial printer staying ahead of the curve? Learn how Command Financial is evolving not only with the times, but with your business requirements. Visit CommandFinancial.com today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks declining in Europe alongside U.S. stock index futures as the latest salvos in the China-U.S. trade war renew jitters in global markets. Havens are in demand with 10-year treasuries advancing with gold and the Swiss franc. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 9 points, Dow futures down 86, NASDAQ futures down 35. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. 10-year treasury up 9/32, yield 2.09%, yield on the 2-year 1.87%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 28 cents to $53.79 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $8 to $13.19.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1172, the yen 108.34. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump have been honored at a small welcoming ceremony upon their arrival in the UK. The president was met by the U.S. Ambassador to Britain, Woody Johnson, Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt, and other dignitaries. President Trump kicked off the trip with a tweet blasting London Mayor Sadiq Khan, calling him, quote, a stone-cold loser, after Khan said the president did not deserve the red carpet treatment. China warned its students studying in the U.S. to be vigilant as the Trump administration steps up restrictions on academic visas amid growing trade tensions between the two countries. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Red Sox 8-5. The Mets lost along with the A's. The Giants beat the Orioles 8-1. The Nationals were winners. In the NBA Finals, the series is tied at a game apiece after the Warriors beat the Raptors. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Bloomberg opinion editor Jennifer Ryan joins us from our London bureau. And we begin this morning, Jen, with a piece by Elisa Martinuzzi. She's taking a look at apparent early merger talks between Deutsche Bank and UBS. This was when they were discussing combining their asset management units. Martinuzzi says this could be a missed opportunity in terms of combining both banks completely.
That's right. I mean, the talks obviously fell apart, and it's not exactly clear why. But she's saying, oh, you know, this is a merger that could have been because, you know, it works for both sides. Deutsche Bank needs to really stem this erosion of confidence that's pushed its share price down to a record low. And UBS has seen its shares drop to a 7-year low because investors are really starting to wonder whether it's going to be able to deliver on returning profits, especially when growth in managing money for the wealthy begins to slow. And Martinuzzi points out there's a lot of strategic, you know, benefits to this deal. So for a start, for investment banking, you've got UBS is within top five equities business. Deutsche Bank's fixed income trading ranks fourth globally. UBS is obviously the world's largest wealth manager, so it doesn't need scale, and it's got to be careful to preserve its brand. It can nevertheless benefit from Deutsche Bank's access to clients in Germany, and the combination of the asset management alone would create a $1.6 trillion player, and that's nothing to sneeze at when you're going to consider how that is going to be able to compete against global rivals.
Now, you said it's unclear why the talks fell apart. Does Martinuzzi have any ideas of her own as to why this apparently collapsed?
Well, one really big issue is going to be the regulatory oversight. So even if you do all the due diligence you like, it's still going to take a significant leap of faith to combine these two significantly scaled investment banks that are overseen by two different regulators. And from the Swiss side, it's really unlikely that they're going to be minded to roll out the red carpet to create an even bigger bank when already they'd had to bail out UBS during the financial crisis. So you could get around that by separating the investment bank into a German business, but that's going to require some substantial political and regulatory will.
And I guess the industry's weakness itself, it could be contributing to the problem as well.
That is the backdrop to this whole conversation, the idea of consolidation in European banking. But with Deutsche Bank in particular, there's a little bit of an issue. It's still sitting on level three assets. These are hard to value securities that are priced off of internal models that represent about half of its common equity tier one capital. And UBS shareholders might look at this and say they might not really want to pay for reducing some of these toxic holdings. So Martinuzzi says if you're going to have a behemoth with $2.6 trillion in assets, the regulators are going to really want to know what's in those books. And that might be really hard for them to achieve. So even though they say consolidation is what the industry needs, some of these mergers that look really good are only going to really ever stay on paper. And the only thing that really might change that is if there's some sort of crisis that focuses minds.
All right. Obviously, the crisis that's focused the market's mind right now is trade concerns now on multiple fronts. We got a piece this morning from Mark Gilbert taking a look at how it's playing out in the Eurozone. Of course, the German Bund hit a record minus 0.213% yield late last week. How's Gilbert read that?
This is the government bond market sending a really big warning signal to the European Central Bank about its failure to achieve the inflation targets. So it's not just the risk that the global trade war is going to crush economic growth. This move is exacerbated by investors seeking a haven from drops in equity markets, and the equity markets themselves are discombobulated by the trade war, as well as growing tensions with China over Huawei.
But of course, those tensions have been at the fore for quite some time now. I mean, what changed things last week?
No, you're absolutely right. But the proximate cause last week was some inflation numbers from Germany. Inflation slowed to 1.3% in May. This is Europe's largest economy. That was down from 2.1% a month earlier. To put this into context, the ECB's target is for inflation below but close to 2%. So that's a pretty long way. And the expectation is figures on Tuesday will show the bloc's consumer prices rose by just 1.4%. So this does not warm the hearts of European Central Bank policymakers who are really mindful of the struggle that they've been experiencing to meet their target. Gilbert also points out that inflation expectations have really started to tail off. And so this is also going to raise some pressure on the ECB.
All right, we'll be watching as the ECB meets later this week. Bloomberg opinion editor Jennifer Ryan, thank you as always. You can read more of these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion on the Bloomberg terminal. You can type in OPIN. Go. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Trade analysts and business groups are keeping watch on whether President Trump's tariff threat for all Mexican imports will upend congressional progress on the new NAFTA proposal. A Congressional Budget Office analysis finds the much-reduced U.S. corporate tax rate could raise the U.S. trade balance by 9% if other factors didn't limit the impact. And the EPA says it has begun to give the public greater insight into its oversight of chemicals that are newly made in or imported into the U.S.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Steve, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching this morning. The ACLU suing the Trump administration over a reported plan to make it easier for taxpayer-funded adoption agencies to reject same-sex couples on religious grounds. It's a proposal that's already been implemented in South Carolina. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Harold Krent, dean of the Chicago Kent College of Law.
Harold, tell us a little bit about this lawsuit and how the Trump administration got involved in South Carolina's rules.
Yeah, so the ACLU has just sued both the Trump administration and South Carolina to rule back the exception that the Secretary of Health and Human Services has given to South Carolina to allow, in essence, discrimination to governmentally funded foster and adoption agencies. And this is, it's a very convoluted area of the law, but in essence, what the government is now arguing, our federal government and South Carolina is arguing, is that even those agencies that receive governmental money can discriminate and choose on the basis of same-sex couples and decide who should adopt or foster a child. And it's a very sort of striking development, and one that sort of cuts against what we usually think of as the best interest of the child, which is the touchstone for adoption agencies.
The government hasn't responded to the lawsuit yet, but what might its legal defense be?
Well, to take a step back, if there's no governmental funding involved, then clearly religious agencies can discriminate. So the issue that why this becomes so important is because there is government funding, and generally strings are attached that the government cannot use its money so as to disadvantage somebody on the basis of sex, religion, race, and so forth. And so the question of same-sex adoption is very tied up with one's religious views, and so the legal issue would be whether the government itself discriminates on the basis of religion if it denies government money to people who want to adopt on the basis of same-sex couples.
And that's Harold Krent, dean of the Chicago Kent College of Law, speaking of Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And right now, futures are lower. S&P futures are down 9 points. Dow futures down 79, NASDAQ futures down 35, 10-year Treasury up 9/32nds, yield 2.09%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.87%. The euro had 1.1174 against the dollar, the yen 108.36, and Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.